for you.
Amen.
It's good to see you all today. This morning, what I want to speak about is the greatness of the work that God has done. But you can only understand that if you know how far man has fallen. Unless you can understand when the Bible talks about the condition of man, it is nothing that is very glamorous. Everything is very negative. And if you can only understand how far man has fallen, then you'll start to understand how great the redemption was that Jesus wrought for us. So in the Bible, as I said, man does not look good. There's nothing that's really great about him. There's no positives really that the scriptures give about the condition of man. And when we come to the scriptures, the Bible highlights a transformation that takes place when we come to know Jesus. In Ephesians 2:12, the Bible tells us we are without God. We're having no hope, and we're without God in this world. But in 1 Thessalonians 1:13 it says, your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope. So instead of being without hope, now you've got patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. So instead of without God, no hope, now we have patience of hope, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the sight of God, our Father. And so when we come to man's condition in the Bible, John 3:19 says this, this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because it's a corrupt nature you have. It's a fallen nature. You're not interested in God. The Bible tells you, oh, your deeds are evil. It's not a social problem. New housing doesn't solve the problem of a person's heart. Yeah. It's not an economic issue. Money doesn't solve people's problems. Many people win lotteries and have all the money in the world, but before long they're just as poor as anything, because it's a condition of the heart. It's like you took the children of Israel out of Egypt, you couldn't get Egypt out of the heart of the people. It's the same when you get finance, get social, your heart remains the same. It's not an educational issue, because you can't teach people. Because the educational systems do not teach the truth of the Word of God for people to be delivered and set free and how to overcome. It's not a racial issue. It's not one group of people no better than the other. Because the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. Doesn't matter what part of the world you come from, what colour of your skin, everyone is in the same condition before God. And man's condition is given in Timothy. The lovers of their own self. They're covetous, they're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers, they're disobedient to parents, they're unthankful, they're unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And that's just one part of the scripture. Other parts of the scriptures will give you other details. So man, before God, is in a pretty bleak position. And the condemnation is given here in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So people are living under condemnation. They're already condemned. And people need deliverance and a way out from their condition and from this condemnation. And the problem is that people love the sin rather than coming into the light. Because the Bible says here in John 3:20, "For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." So that is your Bible's description of your condition and of my condition and of anybody who's born into this world. This is our condition because we have inherited a fallen nature. We have inherited what the Bible calls an Adamic nature. But everything about Jesus was the opposite of that. Everything about Jesus projected what life should be. Everything about Jesus projected the goodness of God, the love of God, the peace of God. Everything about him was a perfect man. And the scripture says he came to his own, and of course his own received him not. He came with miracles. He came with healings. He came with signs, and he came with wonders. And the reason for that is because in 1 Corinthians it tells us that for the Jewish people, they require signs, because they're not very earthly people. How do you make Jewish people jealous? When they see meetings with healings and miracles. Because they're supposed to be the people who know the loving God. And so Jesus comes, and he demonstrates the power of God, and he does miracles that would remind them of what God done for them when they came through the wilderness. He fed them manna from heaven. He gave them the bread of life, and he gave himself. He done the miracles when he fed the multitudes on the hillside. When they listened to Jesus, the testimony is, "We've never heard a man like this before. We've never heard somebody with such power and authority." Does the leaders know that this is his Messiah? So people were asking questions. Because his fame spread. A man from Galilee, going within a particular area, his fame was going into the city and all the places. There is a man who's coming, preaching the word of God. Where did he get all that knowledge from? There's healings, there's miracles, there's signs, wonders. And people say, "Is this our Messiah?" Blind eyes were opened, leprosy cleansed, dumb spake, lame walked, dead are raised. And yet the Bible says they sought to stone Jesus. And John said, Jesus answered, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" You see, nobody likes somebody coming into the midst who is moving in such power and the life is so much different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They always want to pull Jesus down to their level.
Yeah.
That was the case back in Jesus' day. It's been the case all through my lifetime. They always want to pull Jesus down.
Yeah.
But Jesus wants to lift you up. And so we have the Saviour coming into this world. And he and it's a bit like his description, a sheep amongst wolves. And he sees the condition of people and the response of people to him, even when he demonstrates all the miracles. Because who wouldn't want to be healed? Who wouldn't want to be healed of their leprosy? Who would want to be, instead of having their cancers and their sicknesses and being lame and can't get about, their health is pulling them down, who would want to be healed? But you see, when somebody comes to the power of God, the world doesn't want them. They prefer that you remain sick, bedridden, because it testifies that there is a God.
Amen.
And they don't like to hear that. Because they're disobedient. And they want to shut it out. And it's always been the same. Shut out. We don't want to hear you, Jesus. We We want your miracles, yes, but nothing else. Don't tell us that you've come from God, just do the miracles. But then leave us alone to do what we want to do. It's the condition of the heart. And the Bible says that the thoughts in Genesis, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is the condition of man. Heart so corrupt, so dark, constantly thoughts of evil, how they can progress, how they can, and if we don't have it, we'll steal. If we've got more power, we'll overcome those that have. And John said, everyone that doeth evil hates the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. See, when you're coming to Jesus, evil deeds are reproved. Because when you're coming to Jesus, you're coming to a person who's going to take you from your own corrupt life and transform you, and you'll become a new creation, and you will be different from everybody else. And nobody likes that.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants you to be like them.
Yeah.
And people don't bother. But as soon as you come declaring the goodness of God, the life of God, the power of God, that there is a higher level, a higher life, and a better life, you are enemies. And so the Bible says, the thoughts are evil continually. The Bible says the heart's wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked, who can know it? Well, you know your psychologists, well, they don't want to know it. All your professional people, they want to follow all the dictates that some of the people have come up with, whether it's Freud or any of these people. They want to diagnose on a human level. But the Bible says you will always miss the mark, because until you understand the heart is evil and wicked, until you understand the true condition of a person and what is available to bring them out of a prison and where they're bound, then there's no hope. And you can try all things that you want. A man thinks he can control his own destiny. And let's just look, if we put up on the screen, look at what God's words were spoken to Job. If we go to Job 40. And 6 to 14.
That's 6 then.
Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind, and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, wilt thou also annul my judgment? Will you condemn me, that you might be righteous? That's a good question. God said, are you going to condemn me, so that you might be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud and abasing. Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. You can do all these things, Job. Then I'll testify that you can save yourself. That's God's response. That's God's response to Job. And the Bible goes on to tell us the history is full of wickedness. And where there is no restraint, you can see the full depravity of man come into being. It didn't matter where you look at history. You can start in the Assyrians. The Assyrians were known, people were so wicked. Yeah. Their tortures and what they'd done to people, it was so horrible. Then you have the Romans who the crucifixion. You go into the Middle Ages, they had all perfected ways to torture people so that they could, people would be in total agony. And you can write through all the history, it didn't matter where you turn, people are always looking to torture, to keep people, control people, because it's evil that comes from people's hearts. Mm-hmm. They have all wickedness taking place. And the Bible tells us, Paul said, way back in his time, this present evil world. It was evil when Paul walked through the Middle East and Asia Minor. It's still evil today. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And it all demonstrates that man needs a saviour because man is incapable of saving himself or improving himself. But man has another problem. There's a spiritual realm that is at work.
Yeah.
And this spiritual realm works in the shadows. And people are blind, oblivious, and look at events in the world and think everything's natural events. And to understand this realm and the influence that comes from this realm, you have to be aware that you will always hear three voices.
Yep.
You're going to have your own spirit and the thoughts that come from your own spirit. And normally when they would be tied and operate within the natural realm, the realm of the world. But then you've got unclean spirits. You've got spirits in the demonic realm. And they challenge God's word and say, you gonna believe that? That's what is rubbish. They are myths that you're reading in the scriptures. Wouldn't waste my time there. And then you will have God's voice, the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin. Righteousness, judgment to come. You know, when you preach the gospel, people hear the word and they can put on their face. But you know that God speaks to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
People can be convicted of sin. Don't want to hear that. Don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
They don't understand that when you can get convicted of sin, this is God's way of showing love for you.
Yeah.
Because unless you know where you are, then you'll never look for a saviour.
Yeah.
If you don't know how your condition is, you're never ever going to be looking for one to rescue from that condition and to change your life and transform your life. Because the gospel is all about this swap, isn't it? You've given your old life to get a new life.
Yeah.
You've given up the Adamic nature so you have a life with the Christ nature. And of course, and because of that, we get examples of scripture. One of the greatest examples is the book of Job itself, where the curtain is drawn back and we see what is happening behind the scenes. Where God is boasting about Job and Satan is, it's only because you bless him. It's only because I kind of touch him. You protect him. Look at all the goods he's got. Look at all the wealth he's got. Look at all the family he's got. Let me touch him and he'll curse you to the face. And so you get this whole scene all about from the book of Job. But that's not the only one you get. 1 Chronicles 21:1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoke David to number Israel.
Mm-hmm. Like to count, don't we?
So when David is provoked, what does he think? That's just a normal thought. It's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Who planted the thought? See, if you kind of determine and distinguish who's planting the thought in your mind,
mm-hmm.
you'll be like David.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they, and you read about David afterwards, talking about his foolishness and the consequences of his action that had to take place. But if you think that's all, Matthew 13:19, and when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and they don't understand it, then comes the wicked one, catches away that with your sword and heart. The wicked one comes to take and to snatch away and leave you in the poverty, in the bondage, and in the place where you are living in your old Adamic nature, loving darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. It's up to the present time that we have lived. We have encountered this life of the Adamic nature in us, along with the spiritual realm that impacts upon us. Now, the spiritual realm, the Bible is clear that there's boundary lines. God gives boundary lines and he says, well, don't go over these lines. Mm-hmm. If you go over these lines, you will open yourself to the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And in the spiritual realm, if you're foolish enough to go there, then there's pretty big consequences to you. So there is a dividing line. God is very clear about that dividing line.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't involve ourselves with spiritists, necromancers. We don't involve ourselves with all of these things because we know that where they are hearing the voices from is not from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible is so clear about that. But you know, the Bible is also saying there's going to come a day where there will be no evil spirits, unclean spirits. No voices from the demonic realm are going to come to influence man.
Mm-hmm.
And when that day comes, the problem that man will have is that he's going to go through a period of time where Jesus is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
but they still have the old Adamic nature.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us, Revelation 20, starting from verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till this 1,000 years be fulfilled, and after that he must be loose a little season. So the Bible says there's coming 1,000-year reign, where Jesus is going to come and to reign from Jerusalem.
Amen.
And in this 1,000-year reign, the devil is going to be cast into the bottomless pit. In this 1,000-year reign, there will be no demonic or unclean spirit influences upon the world. All that you will have is Jesus sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, fulfilling the promise given at his birth, that he would sit upon the throne of David. But in the world, you have people who are living, and all they have is their Adamic nature.
Yeah.
And they don't need to live by faith. Because you don't live by faith in that Jesus is there to be seen day by day. So you've got people living under the rulership of Jesus Christ. And they're having to contend that his kingdom of righteousness and his rule and his authority is being forcefully put upon the whole earth. And you have people there who are rejoicing, but you've got people there with their Adamic nature who literally hate it. And this is how corrupt the Adamic nature is in people. In Isaiah 14, if we read from 12 to 18, it informs us of Lucifer saying, he's going to be brought down to the size of the pit. And he's going to be bound there for 1,000 years. And during the millennial reign, the Bible says the nations are required to come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. And the Bible also tells us in Isaiah, if we go to chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The prophet Zechariah, in chapter 8 of Zechariah, he literally says the same words. Micah in chapter 4 repeats the same thing. And then in Zechariah 14:9 it says, And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And of course, Zechariah 14, all about that period of time. But when you go down to verses 16 to 19 in Zechariah, then you start to read a few other things. You start to read about the punishment given to the nations that do not come up before the Lord. The punishment will happen when they don't come to Jerusalem on the Feast of Tabernacles. It's very specific. We'll go and we'll start to talk about nations. And the Bible tells us what will happen at that time. Drought and famine. And so the Bible is telling us all about this period of time. Yes, it will be great for all those who love Jesus, all those who are rejoicing, but there are people with an Adamic nature who hate living under that rulership because of disobedience. Nobody else influences, it's just the Adamic nature in an individual. And there's warnings given. Revelation chapter 20 verse 3 says, And after that he must be loosed a little season. After the 1,000 years bound, Satan has to be loosed a little season. And verse 7 says, And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And so despite 1,000 years of peace on the earth, prosperity, despite having what you would consider to be an ideal kingdom, no more wars, there will be those when Satan is released and he starts to stir them up, going to say, We're with you. They pull down Jesus Christ. Why? The Adamic nature. You must understand how corrupt and how evil it is to understand the greatness of the salvation that God has got from you and the greatness of the plans and purposes that God has for you. So in this period of time, the human heart remains at enmity with God. Those who don't want to follow Jesus are going to be in it. And there's warnings given, Psalm 72, 8 to 9. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Jesus Christ is going to have dominion, ruling from Jerusalem. And then it goes on to say, that they dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust.
Amen.
Those in the wilderness are never going to bow before him. They will bow, but they'll hate him in his heart. They'll like the dust, but they'll hate him. Isaiah 26, which is the context of the second advent, and it says, from verse 9, When my judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness. Let favour be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. It is incredible to think that you could be living in the perfect environment with no wars, no famines, no earthquakes. There's peace reigning and you actually hate living under that condition. And you want to rebel and to pull down the Lord's kingdom. The warning is also given in Psalm 66:7. He ruleth by his power forever, and his eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Yeah.
Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. And then we come back to Revelation 20, verse 8. And Satan shall go out to deceive the nations, to come, to raise a people, to come against the beloved city. And fire from heaven will come out and devour them all.
Amen.
And from that time, a new heaven and a new earth will be created. And so, even in the best of conditions, the Adamic nature of people is such that you will always have those whose deeds are evil and they hate being under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and are willing to respond when the opportunity comes to go to fight against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible tells us that when they come against the Lord, it's going to be a great multitude. It's going to be a great multitude who just do not want the rule of Jesus. And when they come against the beloved city, the fire of heaven will fall upon everyone and wipe them out. And the Bible tells us, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Not only is it the demonic realm cast in there, Satan, but the Bible tells us about everybody who came against Christ. In Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So even the man gets the best conditions possible, he can't live at peace with each other. There's always going to be those stirring up hatred. There's always going to be those wanting to get above the others. There's always going to be those who want to rule over people. The Adamic nature is so corrupt. And that is why when we come to Jesus, and the salvation that God has wrought for us is so marvelous. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled all scripture, and he shed his own blood, and he took the place of sinful man and became sin for us. So that as when he was resurrected from the dead, because the sin could not hold him, he defeated sin, death, and the hell. And he offers eternal life to mankind. And this eternal life is not just be good, or here's rules to follow. This eternal life is to be born again by the Spirit of the living God, so that you become a new creation, and your spirit in you becomes alive, and that you have a relationship with the living God. And you walk in peace, and you walk in victory, and you walk knowing, I am secure in Christ. And when I step from time into eternity, I will be in his presence. And I will reign with him. And I have been delivered from my old Adamic nature, but I have also been delivered from the lake of brimstone and fire. Because the Bible says, when God created that hell, he never created it for man. He created it for his devil and his angels. Who wants to be with him for eternity? And so when we come, it's only when we understand how deep, how corrupt a human nature is, do we understand how great the victory of the cross of Calvary and the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. Eternal life, escape from the lake of fire and brimstone. And the Bible tells us that God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. God will judge. See, God inhabits eternity. And the Bible says 1,000 years to God is just like a day. God has time on his side. We don't. We are here for such a finite piece of time. The Bible says we're just like the clouds that come and blow away, the grass that grows and burns. But God has all the time in the world. But he says, come to me. Have your sins forgiven. Come and follow me. As I said to Peter, James, and John, come, it says, that judge today. Come, follow me and have eternal life. And be in my presence forever, reigning and ruling. And escaping the judgment that's to come upon all the earth. Hallelujah.